COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
Welcome in, everyone, to Redacted on this Wednesday. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
And on this show, we cover the stories the mainstream media largely ignores. Right now, the mainstream media is pushing us towards a war with Iran and championing the idea of regime change. It's always been about regime change, but many people are focused on nuclear weapons. But the real story, of course, is the toppling of the government. And there, President Trump just moments ago saying he hasn't made a decision on whether or not to attack. He's still kind of going back and forth on this. Others are saying, no, this decision has already been made. Prepare for a United States attack by tomorrow at the earliest.
We're also going to talk about what Russia can do. Donald Trump has floated the idea that maybe let Russia negotiate peace. Russia's saying no one's asked us to do this, but they condemn Israel's attack on Iran. So has China. But is that where it ends? And what will this mean? How is this going to end? We're going to talk to Gilbert Doctorow about this. He's an expert on U.S.-Russian relations. He has some really bombshell things that he's been writing about, so I'm excited for him to say that to us personally.
And also Russia just weighing in on this. President Putin just a short time ago weighing in on the Israel-Iran war, basically threatening the United States. If you interject yourself in this, that, you know, basically don't do it, because that means that Russia is about to step in on the Iranian side. So this is about to get a whole lot worse. So we'll talk about all of these things here with some great guests lined up on Redacted on this Wednesday. Let us know in the comments section where you're joining us from. By the way, if you do subscribe, your name will pop up on the big screen as well, right here on the bottom. So if you are a subscriber and you join us there, your name will pop up there. So we'll get to all of this news. But first, is your money working for you? Well, investing in real estate has never been easier. Savings accounts, CDs offer low returns, barely keeping up with inflation. The stock market, volatile, unpredictable. One day you're up, the next day you're down. If you're tired of watching your hard-earned money sit idle or ride the market roller coaster, it's time for a better solution. Now you can invest in real estate short notes with as little as $500 with annualized returns up to 9%. Yes, you heard me right, up to 9%. Annualized returns with as little as $500. Just go to the link on your screen, redacted.inc/invest, and with as little as $500, you can start earning fixed monthly returns. And I'm telling you, the testimonials that we receive on this are amazing. After our partnership with Connect Invest, it's really ridiculous. I mean, it's unbelievable. Just have a conversation with their team, and I think you'll be blown away. So, you know, a lot of people think, oh, I've got to invest $100,000. No, you don't. You can start with $500. And if you sign up today, you get a $50 bonus right in your account. Just go to redacted.inc/invest today. Well, it was only a matter of time before the Zionists and the AIPAC lobby and the controlled members of Congress would call for boots on the ground in Iran. Yes, Americans will die to fight Iran, and you will like it, says Senator Lindsey Graham. Watch.
Can you guarantee that? Can President Trump in any form? I mean, can you make the commitment that this would not lead to a longer war?
I can guarantee you that if the Ayatollah gets a nuclear weapon, he will use it. I believe that with all my heart and soul. So the men and women who serve, they're the ones going, not people answering a poll. And if you ask them, would you be willing to risk your life to stop the Ayatollah from having a nuclear weapon? All of them would say yes, because it makes their country, our country, safer. So we live in a world where you've got to confront problems. You want to avoid World War III? Learn the lessons from World War II. People in World War II appeased Hitler to the point that it got so much out of hand, we had a world war and 60 million people got killed. So we live in a world where you pay now or you pay later. Let's stop this threat before he gets a nuclear weapon. Let's end this reign of terror. Let's do it now. It's not going to take 20 months, but I can't guarantee you your freedom and your safety unless we're willing to fight for it. I can guarantee you this. If we don't fight for our freedom, we will lose it.
Yeah, well, Senator.
Yeah, so World War II, the lesson from World War II, create a false flag in Pearl Harbor, allow us to get dragged into this war when Japan had multiple times ahead of that offered negotiated peace. So maybe we could learn that lesson from World War II instead of 60 right. million people dying.
And here's another lesson we could learn from. Oh, I don't know, Libya, Iraq, Somalia. Syria,
Afghanistan,
Ukraine, Afghanistan, Serbia, Panama. All of those were military operations based on lies. Also, he is asking us to trust him that Iran would have. This will now be the justification going forward. It would have happened. You are asked to swallow that big line of shit in order to justify. So it's a hypothetical that will never need to be proved. No, never. So you can swallow that if you want to. That is what they're asking for. This is something Philip says all the time. You can't prove a negative.
Yeah.
You can't prove this would. This is a Heisenberg uncertainty principle. It's like one world in which Iran does. We are in the world in which Iran does not. But we're asking. They're asking us to believe both things simultaneously.
Well, and you know, if you listen to the Mockingbird media right now, of course, the Mockingbird media absolutely wants you to be dragged into this war. We are vehemently anti-war on this show. And so you're going to see this. I mean, it doesn't matter what legacy media you're watching right now. They want this war. So here's the latest. Sources say Trump has already decided to go to war with Iran. He's already made this decision, although he's playing like in front of the cameras. I haven't decided yet if I'm going to attack more nuclear sites. I don't know. The U.S. could strike as soon as tomorrow. The third U.S. aircraft carrier is now heading off the coast of Israel, is heading to the coast of Israel. Americans are being told, get out of Israel right now. Israeli Ambassador Mike Huckabee posting this urgent notice. American citizens wanting to leave Israel. U.S. Embassy in Israel is working on evacuation flights and cruise ship departures. You must enroll the Smart Travel Enrollment Program. You will be alerted with updates. The U.S. has already evacuated the Al Udeid Air Base in Qatar, one of the largest U.S. military bases in the Middle East. They are preparing for war, evacuating military bases within range of Iranian missiles. Moscow.
How can they get them out when all flights are grounded out of
Well,
Israel?
That's out of Qatar.
Well, I read an article last night that Netanyahu wasn't letting people leave, and so the only people with money to get cruise ships were actually getting out.
That's true. Like, yeah, we've Americans, reported yeah. that in the newsletter that no flights are allowed out of Tel Aviv. So how, I guess, Americans get exceptions?
Maybe American flights orchestrated by the State Department, U.S. State Department, on these evacuation flights. So anyway, Moscow just issued a strongly worded statement saying the United States should not even consider directly participating in Israel's war of aggression against Iran, quote, avoid giving military aid to Israel or even thinking about it, end quote. It's looking likely that Russia will aid Iran directly. And Russian President Putin just spoke out this morning saying that America is ruled by dark forces in suits that force U.S. presidents to do things a certain way. Watch.
Президенты приходят и уходят, а политика не меняется. Знаете почему? Потому что очень сильна власть бюрократии. Вот человека избрали, он приходит с одними идеями. К нему приходят люди с кейсами, хорошо одетые и в темных, как у меня, костюмах, но только не с красным галстуком, а с черным или с темно-синим. И начинают объяснять, как нужно делать. И все сразу меняется, понимаете? Это происходит от одной администрации к другой.
My dude, truer words were never spoken. He has just explained the Uniparty.
I mean, exactly. So you have literally presidents get elected. They run on being a peace president. And then suddenly these dark forces arrive and tell you, no. This is how it actually works. This is what's actually going on. So you are going to war with Iran, whether you like it or not, Mr. President. We've got the tapes. We've got the blackmail. We've got everything that our pal Jeffrey Epstein had. So you're going to go to war with Iran, whether you like it or not. Our next guest says this was never about nuclear weapons. He predicted years ago that this would happen. Joshua Reed from the Red Pill Project joins us now. Joshua, great to have you here. Welcome back to the show. It's been a little too long.
Absolutely. Clayton, Natalie, thanks for having me back. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. Now, a lot of people, you know, you have for years now been saying that this is about regime change. And even up a couple of months ago, you were saying the coming war with Iran is about regime change, not nuclear weapons. And you wrote this piece on your Substack, and I want to read it for our audience. For those who've been following this war through the lens of legacy media, it looks sudden, chaotic even. But for those of us watching the real chessboard, this didn't begin last week. It began with drone swarms or airstrikes. It didn't begin with drone swarms or airstrikes. It began months ago, maybe years ago, when Trump and Israel started preparing a move the deep state never anticipated, a coordinated regime collapse in Iran. So, Joshua, this was all foretold. All of the talking heads on television talking about nuclear sites, nuclear weapons, that's all garbage, isn't it?
Well, it is. And, you know, it's interesting to watch the rhetoric on X and through the mainstream media of what's really going on, because when we start to look at Donald Trump and we understand Donald Trump from his first administration to this administration, he talks a very, very big talk, very, very extreme. But this is really to make deals in the long run. Now, when we start to look at the relationship between Donald Trump and Israel, obviously he's been very, very pro-Israel. But it's almost like there's a difference in this president than former presidents. There's almost like an acquiescence of Israel towards Donald Trump. And we saw that during the first administration. We're seeing this right now. You know, I found it interesting, and this is kind of what got me onto all of this, that Raisi was actually killed by the Iranian regime, their own president. And I looked at the helicopter crash and I started asking questions. I said, wait, this is the first time in 50 years that something happens to the state of Iran and they're not blaming the West. They're not blaming Israel. They're not blaming the United States. Instead, they don't want any international cooperation. They want to cover it all up. The black box has never been released. And I said, was this a regime change? Well, soon after all of this, we begin to see various different Ayatollah loyalists come in and start taking shape within the Iranian regime. They take a different stance towards Israel. And then we have the Butler, Pennsylvania incident with Donald Trump with the attempted assassination. We learned that there's two foreign countries listed on Crooks' phone. And we hear that one of them's Iran. A few days later, the Biden administration comes out and tells us that there's an active Iranian threat on Donald Trump's life. It was just a few weeks later, Clayton, that right. We see Israel go in and absolutely decimate Hezbollah, cut the head off of Hezbollah. Now, I think that this is pretty important because we know from Todd Benzman back in 2021 congressional testimony that he gave that Hezbollah Unit 910, trained by the IRGC, came over our southern border. We have thousands of them implemented throughout the United States of America, to where if Iran was going to do an active threat against Donald Trump and take him out, that's who they would use. And immediately after Butler, PA, Israel goes out there and decapitates Hezbollah massively. And this obviously increases the tensions between Israel and Iran leading up to the October incident. And this is where it got interesting, because this is where Reza Pahlavi, the exiled crown prince, comes in and calls for an immediate regime change in Iran. And by this time, I've been talking about it for years, that this was the plan all along. And now we have this whole situation that we're seeing here. And I want to kind of point this out to people, that I don't think that what we are seeing is the precursor to World War III. I trust Donald Trump. I truly do. And I believe that we're watching his rhetoric, and we should not take that seriously, but understand that Donald Trump speaks these words to get people to the table. Like we just saw, it was just announced from the White House that Iran, they had talks today in Oman. Iran wants to come to Washington, D.C. and negotiate this, which means that we could potentially see in some type of ceasefire. That is if Israel does comply with that. So right now, I'm finding this whole global situation really interesting, because there's a few different things that are going to come back from this. Number one, there's going to be massive blowback in the Middle East, primarily Israel and in Iran. The Iran aspect is that we know Khamenei is not doing well health-wise. He's 80 years old. He's coming up to his older ages, that they're looking for a replacement. This is one of the main reasons they took out Raisi, because they knew that Raisi wasn't more aligned with the theocracy. He was more aligned with the IRGC. He was more of an IRGC hardliner, but at the same time, he wanted to alleviate the economic sanctions on Iran, and this would have brought him to the table with the West. And this is not something that Khamenei wanted. But now when we start to see what has unfolded over the course of the past few weeks, you know, this whole Israeli attack, for everybody out there listening, this started with the Shahid Raji port in Israel a few weeks ago, or in Iran a few weeks ago. If anybody doesn't remember, there was a massive chemical explosion at this port. Well, what caused that? Well, it was oxidizers and ammonium perchlorate, which just happened to be the fuel for ballistic missiles. These were shipments sent directly in from China. In October of last year, Israel annihilated much of the manufacturing of ballistic missiles for Iran. So this was recuperating parts they were getting in from China. And this was the precursor to the events that we just saw. And I will state it here that Israel is the one that took out that port. And I don't know why nobody anywhere is reporting on that. But we saw the kind of the hints that all of this was coming about. Now, looking at the, I'm gonna call this. I'm calling for a dual regime change. We're going to see Israel is going to have massive international pressures for Netanyahu to step down, to get out of the way, for his regime to get out of the way, as well as in Iran, just because of their culture. The IRGC, Khamenei, have been shown to be incredibly weak. They have allowed their country to be attacked. And that is something that doesn't really fly too well with the Iranian people. And so we're probably most likely going to see an uprising there as well. And hopefully it's somewhere, something that is more westernized in the context of a regime that does come into place.
But that's not up to us. We're not Persians. We're not Iranians. We have never successfully enacted regime change in a way that works out for the people of the region. I think I can confidently say this. But that is some of the rhetoric online is, look, you know, women can't wear clothes that, you know, they can't show their nose. Women, this is a authoritarian regime. It's better for them if we do this. How do you respond to that?
Well, you're absolutely right. It should be not our problem. It's not our position to go in there and to remove leaders. But I look at Donald Trump from a 40,000-foot view, that it's not the Middle East, it's not Iran, it's not Israel. Donald Trump is dealing with something more significant at that level. And this is another part of the conversation I think that needs to be introduced. See, Iran's strategic partner, the only primarily economic strategic partner, is China. What we are talking about is the expansion of the Belt Roads Initiative. If this regime is allowed to keep on moving forth, we're talking about cheap energy that China is getting directly from Iran at 30% of market price, 60% of their oil going into China. Now, why does that matter? Because right now we are in a technological revolution. Artificial intelligence is taking over the world, not in the context of it's going to take us over, but whoever obtains artificial intelligence supremacy is going to rule the next 90 years of this planet's history. And so China and the United States are the forefront leaders of this. And the only way to curb that, as we've seen with Donald Trump over the last 5 months, is to basically stifle their ability to get energy. So 2 weeks ago, Donald Trump was in Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and UAE. He struck a massive $10 trillion worth of investments over the next 10 years into the United States, as well as he struck behind the door military deals with those people. At the same time, he was offering Iran a complete alleviation of sanctions. He was going to allow them to trade openly with, obviously, OPEC, go out there on the global market and have nuclear energy, but no, obviously, nuclear enrichment towards nuclear weapons. He came out and put a post out and said that any country doing business with Iran will not be doing business with the United States of America. He was pointing out China specifically with that because of China taking cheap energy directly from them. So the scenario that we see with Iran becoming more kind of lifting sanctions and becoming more of a player on the Western front is this, is that China loses massive energy supply because of Iran. Iran now goes to the global market. They can trade that openly and freely. Then, if China ever does get out of line, which Donald Trump obviously put high tariffs on China, which have limited their economic resources to the point where China was struggling hardcore and they knew they had to cut a deal and do something. So when it comes down to energy, Donald Trump basically has them by the balls, if you want to call about that. Because if anything happens and they're buying from Saudi Arabia, Donald Trump can just impose any type of back deals that he wants with Saudi Arabia to put pressure on China in the context of buying energy. And so when we start to look at this bigger picture, this 40,000 foot view of what Donald Trump is doing, it's all about technological supremacy over the next 5 to 10 years that is enveloping. This is why he's going out there and getting natural resources. This is why he wants to go into Greenland. This is why he wants to broker a deal with Canada. He wants the Northern Canada territories that are rich in rare earth minerals and resources. This is why he wanted to control the Panama Canal. This is why we're after massive amounts of energy and energy deals in the Eastern Donbass and Ukraine, so on and so forth. Because right now, it's resources, logistics, and energy that are going to rule and dominate the world. And Donald Trump wants to put America in the place for leading the world into the future technological world.
Joshua Reed, yeah, even we were just, you know, sitting here thinking about this. I mean, even if this is, it puts our soldiers at risk, you know, 50,000 Americans right now in this game, if Donald Trump is playing this game. I mean, I like to believe that Donald Trump's heart is true, but this sort of dancing right now is, I mean, it's making me quite furious. It's making me honestly quite nervous about everything. So I hope you're right. I hope you're right. I hope that there's some sort of larger sort of 5D chess being played right now. Joshua, great to see you. Thanks so much for coming on. I appreciate your take. Thanks so much, Joshua.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you.
All right. Well, coming up, we're going to have Gilbert Doctor on. He's going to tell us what Russia's side of this is and whether or not it will realign Russia even more so with China and North Korea. He's been writing about that, too. So are we now again solidifying battle lines in a way that's dangerous for all of us? We're going to talk to him about that in a second. Before we do, though, I want to tell you about our friends over at Genucel, because summer is here, and so are those visible dark spots and sunspots and other blemishes that the sun leaves behind. Until now, though, because if you look into Genucel's Dark Spot Corrector, that's not easy to say. It visibly fades away dark marks, sunspots, scars, and other signs of discoloration from your skin. It's formulated with patented LumaSkin, a revolutionary new ingredient, and Genucel's legendary base, shown to visibly reduce age spots, sunspots, and uneven tone for a brighter, more youthful look. You'll be amazed at the results you see or your money back. Right now, get your dark spot corrector with every Genucel complete skincare package for over 70% off. Plus, you get an extra discount applied at checkout for world-class skincare that works, guaranteed, like I said, or your money back. So head on over and check it out at genucel.com/redacted. Again, you get this free shipping, complete skincare package, and age dark spot corrector, genucel.com/redacted. One more time, we really appreciate their support of our show, genucel.com/redacted.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
You won't see the engineer that slams the Nissan Rogue's door 13,920 times, or the corrosive chamber that simulates 15 years of life in 5 months, or the Rogue heat-baked for over 300 combined hours. What you will see is a vehicle that can take punch after punch and keep rolling. Nissan, number one in new vehicle quality among mainstream brands by J.D. Power. We put it through the worst, so you get its best. For J.D. Power 2025 U.S. Initial Quality Study Award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Awards based on 2025 model year. Newer models may be shown.
I want to thank all of our folks in our chat room. Thank you, guys. And I always appreciate all of the differing viewpoints. So many people have different takes on everything. So it's great. I love seeing all the different viewpoints. So thank you guys for subscribing and being a part of our show. Some people saying Josh is 100% wrong. Others saying Josh is 100% right. So again, you always have these different, we'll see in the next few days exactly how this all shakes out.
I mean, look, we're not here to only say one thing. There is room for error here. We are saying what we see when we read the tea leaves, and we are ardently anti-war And so that's, you know, we need to see it from various angles. I think Josh had some
great things to say about AI, too. A lot of people in the chat saying I totally agree with him on AI and China's dominance in AI. So.
Oh, we have an interview coming up here on the channel with George Zakardakis, who wrote the book In Our Own Image about AI. And it's fascinating. It is constantly causing me sort of like an existential crisis in a personal way. And I think you're really going to like it. I'm excited for that to come up on our channel. So stay tuned for that. Well, what can Russia realistically do about this war between Iran and Israel and the United States on the Israeli side? Well, according to our next guest, Gilbert Doctorow, the answer is nothing. No rescue is coming from Moscow or Beijing. And a U.S.-Israeli victory is not just likely, it is strategically disastrous. Far from restoring order, he says it will shatter what little regional stability remains and corner Russia geopolitically. The only unpredictable factor left on the chessboard is Pakistan, which is a bleak forecast, but one we'd be foolish to ignore. It also allows North Korea to strongly align with Russia, which has already happened, and most of us have missed it. Gilbert Doctorow is a foreign policy author and expert on the Russian-U.S. relations. We've been speaking to him since the war in Ukraine, and he's been pretty much right about all of it. He has a new book out called War Diaries about the war in Russia between the first 2 years. So he joins us today. Thank you for joining us today. It's a pleasure to see you again.
Good to see you, Doctor.
Well, very good to be back with you.
Okay, so you argue that Russia will not intervene to support Iran militarily. What do you believe? Why would the Kremlin sit this one out? And is that a strategic decision or a sign of restraint?
I think it is a clear understanding that the situation is not as dire as many of the hyperventilating commentators, particularly on a variety of Indian stations like the Times of India, that take up space on the international section of YouTube. If you listen to them, the end of the world is coming next week. The reality is that the Israelis are running out of out of supplies for their dome. They're out of supplies for their air defense. They have maybe 7 to 10 days more of these missiles that they're using to protect themselves. And so it's hard to see that this war will go on beyond that date. For that reason alone, I think there are people in the Kremlin who understand that there is no reason to rush to Iran's aid assistance. The posturing, I should say, of Mr. Trump is typical of him. He speaks very loudly, he catches attention. He did in his first term send those aircraft carriers to just off the North Korean coast. And what came out of that, what followed? Nothing whatever. So it is today. The idea that the United States is providing substantial assistance to Israel in capturing and shooting down the various missiles and drones that Iran is sending to Israel is only partly true. The United States doesn't have the capacity, as no one has the capacity, to stop hypersonic missiles, for example,
right,
which is precisely what Iran started using in the last couple of days. So I would calm down. The duration of this war is certainly limited by Israel's ability to keep on shooting down incoming projectiles. And that is like a week to 10 days. So I don't think we have the end of the world in front of us.
What if the United States involves itself with aircraft carriers and additional THAAD systems being able to shoot down and aid in this process? If Israel's Iron Dome runs out, they're already not able to stop hypersonic missiles as it is with the Iron Dome technology. Will the United States really step in here to aid this? And then will we see a protracted war as a result of this?
Again, let's step back for a moment. What the mission of Israel has been with American support. The primary mission has been to destroy Iran's nuclear program. So far, they have done damage, but they certainly haven't destroyed it. And there are these impenetrable underground or mountainside nuclear units that Iran has, which only American munitions would have a chance to destroy. Now, the United States has not yet committed itself to sending in B-2 bombers to deliver those wonderful bombs. And I rather suspect they won't. Mr. Trump likes to stir the water, likes to get a lot of attention and hope to threaten people and force them to do deals on his terms. That does not seem to succeed too often, and I'm very doubtful he will succeed in this case. The Iranian forces are not just their own; they're also their allied militias in places like Iraq, which can threaten, which can destroy, in fact, American bases in the region. And for that reason, Mr. Trump will tread very carefully. Again, he's making a lot of noise, but to actually place those 40,000 American soldiers and officers in the region in harm's way, I think would be very, very risky. And certainly there are people in Congress who are telling him that right now.
Now, you say that the one wild card here is Pakistan, that Russia won't get involved, but Pakistan very well could. And if they did, it would be to defend Iran. Can you tell us what the global consequences of that would be, and if you see that as a deterrent or an accelerant?
Well, I don't think it's an abstract consideration. If you know Mr. Trump's schedule today, he received an envoy from Pakistan. And while the BBC and other major media were talking about this as having some relation to the recent armed conflict between India and Pakistan, I think it is more reasonable to assume that Mr. Trump and his assistants were interested in talking to the Pakistanis following their very noisy and angry statements in the United Nations about the war of aggression of Israel and how Pakistan wanted to do something about it. So, it's not just my conjecture that Pakistan stands ready to virtually destroy Israel with nuclear missiles, which it has, but I think that was the subject of Mr. Trump's discussions with the Pakistani envoy today.
Gosh, I think people missed that. That's quite possible.
You studied this deeply. Well, you heard President Putin today saying that the United States should not interject itself in this, that would be really a huge mistake. So what will Russia do? I think one of the big wild cards here is, you know, what will Russia do if the United States fully involves itself in attacking Iran? If the United States decides to hit the Fordow nuclear power plant, President Trump says, we're the only ones that can do it. We're the only ones that can have this attack. What will Russia do in response, do you think?
Again, because let's take a step back. Destroying the Iranian nuclear program is not the same as destroying Iran. They have said since 2003 that they have no intention of building a bomb. The American intelligence agencies all have been in agreement with that. As recently as in, I think it was March, appearance before Congress, Tulsi Gabbard said the same thing. So the most horrible thing that American intervention could do, if we read the script that Mr. Trump has been reading from, is to impair, damage, or destroy major assets in the civil nuclear program of Iran. None of that is the same as regime change or destroying the Iranian nation. So this is not an existential crisis here. That being said, the American intervention would almost certainly bring a dramatic response from the militias that are associated with Iran in the region, and attacks on American bases that would kill American soldiers. It's clear as day. All of that would come back and hit Mr. Trump because the actions he's considering have not been sanctioned by Congress, and he's not even looking for congressional approval. So it's all his own standing that will be impaired or seriously damaged if he proceeds.
What would Russia do, though? If we do, I get the civil side of it. It's just we're taking out their civil nuclear infrastructure. Like if America, if you're sitting, you live near like Three Mile Island or you're in Pennsylvania near these nuclear power plants, and suddenly, Iran just bombed those and they just said, it's just a civil, we just want to make sure you don't have civil nuclear capacity. Would Iran respond largely, or is it just the militias? And then what would Russia do in response? Are they going to allow the United States to do that?
Well, this is not a question of Chernobyl-like catastrophe. They're not speaking about destroying electric generating plants. They're speaking about destroying facilities that process uranium, store uranium, and not in vast quantities. So the environmental impact, the global impact of any of the strikes that Israel has been performing or the United States could add to is not of a nature to alarm us all. Nonetheless, what is at issue is Iranian sovereignty. To come back to your question of where the Russians are, the Russians are profiting from this right now. They're doing very well, thank you, because the United States has pulled back a lot of its air defense assets from Ukraine to safeguard, to put in place in the Middle East, to protect its bases there. The United States has also very quietly, under pretext of the need to rearm Israel, they have stopped supplying military material to Ukraine. All of this has facilitated the ongoing Russian campaign. So the Russians are involved indirectly. The Russian-Ukraine war is definitely affected by the crisis now in the Middle East, insofar as the United States has pulled in its horns in Ukraine, is busy rushing to the aid of Israel, and the Russians can profit from that, as they've done in the last few days with the most dramatic strikes on Kyiv during the whole duration of the war. Now, the real interested party in this is not Russia. The real interested party is China. And there we have, I don't see anybody talking much about it, because the harm, the economic harm of damage to Iran's export infrastructure directly affects the energy balance in China, since Iran has become a major supplier to China. This is not to mention the bigger issue of Iran, if pressed hard by the United States and Israel, Iran's readiness to close the Straits of Hormuz, which would really have a tremendous impact on the global economy. But if you have to look at countries individually, the first ones to suffer would be China, since it is so dependent on energy from the Middle East that would no longer be flowing. Will China remain quiet? Well, we know that China has flown in several airplanes with military equipment for Iran. Exactly what, nobody knows. But presumably, they are ready to do a lot of equipment support for air defense of Iran to prevent the United States and Israel from doing some catastrophic damage and causing many civilian deaths.
Now, something you had written about is that North Korea is, in fact, aligning itself with Russia. Now, Zelensky had been saying this months ago, and I kind of ignored him because he's an idiot. But this seems to be true. You said that North Korea has sent troops to Russian-controlled Ukrainian territory for demining and reconstruction. That seems like more than a gesture. It's a deepening military and political alliance with Russia. So what does that tell us about emerging global blocs. What do you think Western media is going to do with that other than ignore it for now?
They are ignoring it, indeed. The numbers, let's look at the numbers. The demining groups, sappers, as they call them, that is 1,000 soldiers from North Korea. And the construction teams, since a large part of the Korean, North Korean army actually is working at construction during its military service, that is 5,000 soldiers. This is considerable. It frees up Russian soldiers and officers to do something more valuable for Russia's defense and fighting on the front lines, rather than this restoration work in the Kursk Oblast. Yes, of course, it is very important that Russia has established excellent relations with North Korea. They are adding logistical solutions, new bridges across the river that separates them, since they are neighbors, direct neighbors. The economic cooperation is substantial, and it also shows that Russia has finally freed itself from the constraints of the Western imposed sanctions, which they at an earlier time agreed to and signed up for, but now understand to have been a mistake and to be quite ridiculous when Russia itself is under the greatest number of sanctions ever invented by the United States.
Thank you very much. Well, if you want more of this analysis, you can follow Gilbert Doctorow's Substack. We put the link online. He also, again, has a new book out and has been one of the most reasonable voices during the war between Russia and Ukraine. So thank you so much. I know you're in Europe. You stayed up late for Redacted, and we really appreciate it. I hope to see you again soon.
Thanks, Doctor.
Great seeing you. A lot of people in our chat room are like, yes, Gilbert Doctorow is brilliant. Yes, he is. So,
agree. If you're not getting his Substack or his emails, you're missing out.
Well, I mean, it's a couple of really interesting points there. I mean, so you have the Iron Dome, which is being degraded. Iran just a few minutes ago, about 40 minutes ago, says that they've almost eliminated Iran's air defense systems right now.
Iran
said that they eliminated Israel's air defense systems.
Okay.
So their Iron Dome is wearing thin, of course, if there is any Iron Doming left to be doing. I don't know. What does that exactly look like? President Trump, just a short time ago, said, hey, all of my supporters will follow me no matter where I go. They do not want, of course, a nuclear weapon from Iran. So we'll see, I guess, how all of this plays out. I mean, I think one thing I took away from Gilbert is for all of us to take a deep breath.
Mm-hmm. That's what our first guest said, too, but I cannot.
Well,
I won't be doing that.
I mean, I do take a deep breath, but when you've got someone like Benjamin Netanyahu who wants to basically rule the world, it seems like at this point, it's hard to take a deep breath. Anyway, we will.
I'm a woman. I don't come down from this.
Okay, next up, our next guest, we're going to talk about the idea that, hey, they want to push us into a doom economy, a doomsday economy on purpose. Shane Cashman has been talking about this for months, that the idea of the purpose of the doom economy is to get the American public to become sympathetic to engage and sustain a long-term war. Do you buy that? Will we become sympathetic? We're going to talk with Shane next about that. We're also going to talk about why... the Canadian government continues to funnel billions of dollars into the failed Zelensky regime in Ukraine. They've just doubled down on that, adding another $2 billion. If you're Canadian, you've got to be really happy about your boy Mark Carney. But first, while the markets are giving us whiplash right now, I don't know if you guys have seen the price of gold. It's not just rising, it's soaring. Last week, gold closed out the week at its all-time high. In just 12 months, gold has surged more than $3,200 an ounce. Goldman Sachs now saying gold could reach over $4,500 or more in the next year. Silver also skyrocketing. Global currencies are failing right now. Big money is in panic. You're seeing this realignment. We just talked about it with Gilbert Doctorow. North Korea, Russia, China, the BRICS nations are rising and ditching the U.S. dollar like it's a bad habit. So as long as the dollar keeps falling, these companies, these central banks, people are going to be continuing to buy gold. And our friends at Lear Capital can actually help you get set up investing in gold and silver, precious metals inside the United States. It's only for U.S. citizens. I know we've had a lot of people ask, hey, can I get this in the UK or Canada? No, it's only for the United States because they will ship gold coins, gold bars, silver coins, silver bars, all right to your house, or you can have it stored in an offsite location. They can actually help you take your old 401k and actually convert it to a self-directed IRA. They will handle that whole process for you for free. They're a fantastic American company. I would encourage you, just get on the phone with them and have a conversation with them and see if investing in precious metals is smart for you. Natalie and I are big proponents of it. This is a big part of our family's wealth preparedness plan for our children, for our family, owning gold, owning silver. So call them today, 1-800-613-3557. Again, they're an American company. They will talk to you on the phone, no pressure at all, and they'll just educate you on the process, and they'll even ship you a free gold guide right to your house so you can go over the materials yourself, the precious minerals investing guide right here. I've got it in my hand. You can go through it over your coffee, over your dinner with your spouse, your loved one, and just discuss it. Again, 1-800-613-3557 or go to learredacted.com. That's the place to go, learredacted.com.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
You won't see the engineer that slams the Nissan Rogue's door 13,920 times, or the corrosive chamber that simulates 15 years of life in 5 months, or the Rogue heat-baked for over 300 combined hours. What you will see is a vehicle that can take punch after punch and keep rolling. Nissan, number one in new vehicle quality among mainstream brands by J.D. Power. We put it through the worst so you get its best. For J.D. Power 2025 U.S. Initial Quality Study Award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Awards based on 2025 model year. Newer models may be shown.
All right. Thanks to all of you guys for subscribing and being a part of our show. I really appreciate that. And let's ask you guys, I mean, do you think that the United States is about to attack Iran? Do you think that we are actively going to get involved beyond just providing weapons and intelligence support to Israel? This seems like it's been a long time coming. Others are saying, no, we're not going to get involved in this. We're going to sort of sit back and not be involved in this.
I'm also curious about this. The liberal media loves this, that the war with Israel, or the war alongside Israel, is going to break up the MAGA faction. Who the hell cares? Why do they care so much about this? It's such a myopic way to look at a war, like, ooh, this is really going to get them. I don't understand that at all. Why would you care? I feel like that's, you know, tribalism, and it's attack on tribalism. We are all independent thinkers here, so I wonder what that even means.
I don't know. Olga in our chat says, redacted is lost. Are we lost? Because we ask questions. Are we lost? Thank you, Old Gear. I appreciate it. Hey, let's put up a poll. A lot of people ask saying that, yes, we are going to get involved. David, can we put up a poll at least on our YouTube? I don't think we can do it yet on Rumble. But just let us know in the comments there. We'll put up a poll. Are we about to enter the war against Iran? Let us know. All right. Well, are we about to head into a doom economy? The idea is to get the American public to become sympathetic to engage and sustain their war, purposefully driving up the cost of oil. The main and according to our next guest, the playbook looks like this. First, the media inundates you with sensationalized imagery and messaging that confirms your biases. Then they plant a false flag. And then they all try to rally around this propaganda to push us into it. Woodrow Wilson, FDR, LBJ, JFK, all of it. We can see all of this. I mean, we've seen this with false flags for years. 9/11, anybody? Shane Cashman is the host of Inverted World Live, and he's been talking about this doom economy for a while now, and we wanted to bring him on to maybe elucidate his point here. Shane, great to see you. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
So can you explain what you mean by the doom economy? How is this good for any president of the United States? We saw what happened with Joe Biden when inflation was soaring, gas prices were up, egg prices were up. The kitchen table issues drove him from power. No, would conservatives be pushed out of power with a doom economy?
I think it's out of the president's hands. I think the doom economy is kind of puppeteered from behind the scenes by whatever you want to call it, the deep state. You know, everyone's got a different phrase for it, different foreign actors. It's an, in my opinion, an ancient strain of evil that operates behind the scenes that wants to rile the public up to a state of total chaos and confusion, to where we, as in like the collective we, feel like we need to be saved by, you know, the big parent government. We do this to ourselves. You know, it doesn't just have to be war as we typically think of it. It happened just as recently as COVID and lockdowns. Look how they did widespread mass fear porn during COVID to make people even afraid to go outside. So if they can do that to your neighbor, to your family, to people that loved you the day before, you know, CNN and Fox and NBC told you, you know, you got to stay 6 feet apart from each other. What else can they do? So, you know, you mentioned the idea of false flags and the idea of the media, you know, stuff I've been talking about, destabilizing a nation or infecting the public consciousness. We got COVID, like I just mentioned, but then we can go as far back as something like 1953, when we used this playbook to overthrow Iran. That back then, with Operation Ajax, when the main CIA guy on the ground in Iran was Kermit Roosevelt Jr., Teddy Roosevelt's grandson. And he knew, they knew even back then, the best way to destabilize a nation is to infect the media, to poison the collective consciousness of a nation, to have them totally turn on their leaders, so then they can start to destabilize it, while then also funding, you know, the quote unquote bad actors of the day. We did it in Guatemala a year after. But this is the playbook, you know, in terms of war. A good example would be, you know, what happened with the Great Depression, what happened with FDR. You can go through Woodrow Wilson to FDR, World War One, World War Two, and how those economies were boosted by war. But in FDR specifically, the corporations were attempting to overthrow the country. You can look this up. That's the business plot. DuPont, JP Morgan, a lot of other bankers and businessmen were looking to overthrow the country for their own interests. And they were going to install a man named Smedley Butler, who was a decorated general, a war hero with two Purple Hearts. He said no. And then he went on to write a lot of books, or one book in particular called War is a Racket, which is kind of summing up this idea as well that I'm talking about, where we destabilize the nation, we get us into war, and war is a racket means it's great for everyone except the American people. It's great for the corporations who are going to make a lot of money. Of course, DuPont made a ton of money off the World War, off World War II, because they made all of the gunpowder.
What you're describing is the French economist Bastiat in 1850, the broken window fallacy, that because the window's broken, now we've got a glazier to remake the window. Now we've got someone to a contractor to fix the window. Now we've got all of this new economic activity. But obviously that's been proved ignorant, because it's what's not seen, the opportunity cost. What could have been done with that money to actually make your country a better place? And it sort of masks loss as progress. And it forces people to spend resources getting back to zero. So can you play out how that's sold to us as progress?
I mean, to the American people, it seems like being the world police. They want us to think that we're the good guys. We're going to police the world. We're going to prevent this tragedy. And I understand human nature is evil. You know, people do horrible things, and we've seen attacks here. But, you know, they're selling it in the same way, this war with Iran, they're selling it the same way that they sold the vaccines. This is safe and effective. You're going to be safer off if we do this now. I just don't buy it. And you talked about the broken window. Unfortunately, we know through history, we've broken the window on purpose to get into the wars. You know, again, you talked about false flags. They were willing to do mass casualty events on the American people. The Joint Chiefs of Staff during the Cuban Missile Crisis, during that time with JFK, to then blame it on Cuba, right? So that's one of those instances of, hey, let's break this window and then we're going to go fix that problem. They're going to make a lot of money on it because war is great for the economy. But the people will be suffering. We're going to send men and women out to war. We're going to waste all this money on it. And the new corporations of the day are going to make the most money. Silicon Valley is going to do great. You know, Anduril, Palantir, Clearview AI, you name it, all these people that have rebranded into MAGA all of a sudden, they're the ones who are going to do really, really well with a new war.
So how will this play out? How will this doom economy play out here in the United States? Do you see it actually coming into effect? I mean, Trump obviously is running on reducing inflation. He's slamming Jerome Powell today, saying I've called him every name in the playbook, trying to get him to cut interest rates, which would also be in many ways disastrous. But how will the doom economy play out here in the United States, do you see?
Well, I feel like we're already in it. I think we've been this country's been totally mutilated since COVID. I mean, we can go back decades prior, but COVID shut down the entire world. Everyone was sent home. So we've kind of been ground down to the bone. I think we're in it and we're experiencing the consequences of it now. And like you mentioned earlier before this segment that the MAGA is fracturing. You're watching that happen right now. Not that I care because people are standing on principle, but you're seeing the entire base totally fracture. So it's going to come down to the president saying, which he has always said, I don't want Iran to get to have nuclear capabilities. And then he's going to say, you know, he's going to do it whether or not we like it or not, because he's got intel. Now, I'm just because maybe I'm too paranoid. I am skeptical of that intel because he's surrounded by a lot of people who also did the weapons of mass destruction. So we know how that went, right? So, yeah, I think we're already there. And I think what's going to happen next is they're just going to inundate us. You know, I'm seeing a lot of people get bloodthirsty. Ted Cruz is all about it. We're seeing, obviously, we're not surprised with Lindsey Graham or Nikki Haley, but that whole faction is coalescing around it must be war, whatever that looks like. But in my opinion, we're already at war. Like, we're already assisting everyone. We're doing all these different things with defense. So, you know, in my opinion, we're there. It's just not boots on ground war yet.
Well, the media and the corporations are in lockstep on this. I think your point about the military industrial complex makes a boatload of money off of this. The media is complicit. So Fox News, MSNBC, CNN, they make a lot of money off of this. They love war. And then the government intelligence agencies love it as well. They get to expand. They get to argue that they need to have bigger budgets and they get to grow. And the whole thing, it's like a giant octopus that continues to grow. And then we become like little servant lapdogs, you know. Oh, it's so bad, but can you make us safer? Can you take away some of our civil liberties like you did in the Patriot Act? Can you make me take off my shoes at the airport? Can you have biometric scanning so you know everything that I'm doing? Because you'll make me safer.
And part of the question that I have then on that front is that then we know our entire economy is based on a perversion because we can wage wars because the Federal Reserve acts as the venture capitalist of every war we want to wage. We never have to stop it because of this perversion of the U.S. dollar. So we as Americans will never know what we're really made out of. We will never get a chance to really build an economy on our own blood, sweat, and tears and be proud of it. And that also feels awful.
Well, we could look at the 1800s, right, Shane? The 1880s. Yeah. We could say, hey, we didn't have a Fed. We had an industrial revolution that wasn't corrupted and perverted by the Federal Reserve and a bastardizing of the U.S. dollar. And we built a Gilded Age in the United States. I think we could look to history.
Are we still built of that? Like, I have no, you know, like what could we really have done?
I think those, like the monopolies that did take over for that industrial revolution are now the Silicon Valley types who literally call themselves monopolies. Someone like Peter Thiel says he's into monopolies. So that's like the new version of that. But I think that idea of actual real progress is dead because the idea of the progress from Silicon Valley, in my opinion, is antithetical to humanity because they want, they're completely pro-war, although they're also, you know, deranged leftists who rebranded. But they're building this entire false world, false reality through Meta, through the surveillance state, through, you know, Meta trying to read your brain waves and project them as images. So like all of that is bad, in my opinion. And they actually want to monopolize your thoughts. So what we once had is this dawn of progress and this idea of the, you know, industrial revolution, which I think has a lot of consequences. We're in a nightmare stage of that now. And those people are not only surrounding this administration, which I support Trump, not so much on this war stuff, we'll see how it goes, but on his second day in office, what he did was give those people, Silicon Valley, you know, Larry Ellison, Sam Altman, they're from OpenAI and Oracle, they got $500 billion to help build up this surveillance state. So that to me is very concerning and is a complete fracture from humanity.
Yeah, I think you're right. Shane Cashman, host of Inverted World Live. We appreciate it. Everyone should check out the show. Appreciate it. And Shane, someone in the chat, Joe Bowers says, yeah, the 1880s were the best times. I would have loved to have drank a whiskey with Doc Holliday. I'm right there with you.
Yeah.
Get in the DeLorean. get in your DeLorean and go back to the Future 3. Shane, great to see you. I appreciate this. I really enjoyed this. Thank you for your perspective on this.
Thank you very much, Shane. Have a good one.
All right, USA, breaking windows for progress.
That's a long history of it. We do. Yes. And he's absolutely right about that. I mean, the false flags work. I mean, look at 9/11 as the ultimate false flag. I think I've been thinking about this a lot lately, which is, are we on the precipice of another 9/11? Mm-hmm. 9/11 was incredibly effective as a false flag. Intentionally demolish buildings, bring them down to push us into a permanent war on terror in the Middle East. And it was absolutely brilliant. Go into Afghanistan, then go into Iraq, even though Iraq had nothing to do with what happened on 9/11. None of it did. It was a perfect cover for us to enter these permanent wars, a massive expansion of our military-industrial complex, a complete loss of our civil liberties as a result of it.
Well, you see the demise of support for Israel, and what Israel's telling us is that we have the same enemies, you need to stand alongside us, and we see a more independent voice saying, absolutely not, you do this on your own. We see that the support for this is low, despite what the GOP put online today saying, yes, we support it. This was an incredibly stupid piece of propaganda. But because of that, it becomes more dangerous if they see we don't have the support of the American people. We may need to motivate them with... Right. And so that becomes a dangerous position. It's encouraging and dangerous, in my opinion.
And Grover agrees with you. Grover's exhausted by all of this.
Yes.
He just joined us in the studio. OK, we've got more news to get to here on your Wednesday?
It's Wednesday.
We're going to talk about Trump bailing on the G7 and says that Russia needs to join back up again. So it'd be the G8. And boy, did Trump go toe to toe with a bunch of globalists in Canada. Plus Canada donating another multi-billion dollar check to Zelensky in the Ukrainian war. We're going to talk about that in a moment.
But first, we want to tell you about our friends over at Ground News, because you know when you see any mainstream media story that there is some kind of spin on it. What you might not know is exactly what that spin is. That's why Ground News is there to help you. Take, for instance, Trump's new tariffs. Well, Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent called the recession panic media-driven, but you don't see that on your usual news feed. Ground News can tell you exactly what that panic is from what side. There's proof that the liberal and mainstream media either exaggerates claims or completely ignores facts that don't align with their bias. It's very hard to see unless you know that this is the matrix and you can see it in a binary. That's why Ground News will help you. Any topic that you want, you can search the topic and it will give you a list of how it is covered and then also put a spin on it and actually explain as well. For instance, this is left out or this is unsaid. This new, like I said, GOP poll that says that most Republicans support a strike against Iran by the United States. Well, there is omission in how that poll was carried out. It is quite clearly propaganda, and Ground News will help you see it. So check it out for yourself. Go to ground.news/redacted or scan the QR code you see on your screen. If you use this code, you will get 40% off unlimited access. So again, it's ground.news/redacted. You get all the world's news in one place. Plus, it helps you see through the spin. So one more time, ground.news/redacted.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
You won't see the engineer that slams the Nissan Rogue's door 13,920 times, or the corrosive chamber that simulates 15 years of life in 5 months, or the Rogue heat-baked for over 300 combined hours. What you will see is a vehicle that can take punch after punch and keep rolling. Nissan, number one in new vehicle quality among mainstream brands by J.D. Power. We put it through the worst, so you get its best. For J.D. Power 2025 U.S. Initial Quality Study Award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Awards based on 2025 model year. Newer models may be shown.
Well, if you need more proof that Canada is facing collapse, look at how it spends its money. Mark Carney now funneling an additional multi-billion dollar check to Vladimir Zelensky, who was in Canada for the G7 summit. More billions for Zelensky and a fruitless war when every military expert knows right now that Ukraine has lost this war. Why is Canada shoveling another $2 billion? Into this pointless war? It doesn't really make a lot of sense. And so how is this playing out in Canada right now? David Creighton is an independent journalist, and he is live for us today in Ottawa, Canada. Great to see you, David. And, you know, we had President Trump there at the G7. He left early, said he had some bigger things to attend to right now with the Iran-Israeli war. But he did at that table make quite a few headlines there. Maybe you can walk us through what he said, how it's playing out in Canada, and what this means for your country.
Well, the mystery for me, though, Clayton, is if he was so desperate to bail from the G7, which I would describe as a combination of high drama and high camp, because you can't take any of these people seriously. I personally find it hard to take Donald Trump seriously. Yeah, he called out Emmanuel Macron for saying, I got important things to do, I'm going back to Washington to do them. He was so desperate to leave, but he did absolutely nothing since he's come back, or at least nothing that has been made public. But all of these people are playing roles. And Donald Trump, of course, was the high priest at the meeting, even though Mark Carney was hosting it. You knew right away who was in charge because Mark Carney immediately just embraced Donald Trump in a sycophantic fashion that was almost nauseous. It was worse than his performance in Washington, almost getting on his knees and saying, you are the most powerful, transcendent leader in the world today, and we can all learn so much from you. And at the same time, of course, I keep asking, why did Donald Trump want Mark Carney to win this election? Well, apparently Donald Trump wants a war as well in the Middle East, and Mark Carney's all for that war. Mark Carney's all for continuing the war in Ukraine. $2 billion in outright assistance, $2.3 billion in loan guarantees. This is kind of like loaning to the card shark, who you're probably not going to see next week because he's going to abscond with the funds. It's incredible how absolutely stupid Mark Carney thinks Canadians are, that he can continue to funnel billions of dollars into a war that's lost, completely lost for Ukraine. It's just a question of how badly they lose this, if there's a country remaining at the end of this conflict, and how far Zelensky is going to get out of Ukraine. Is he going to come to the United States for a haven, or is he going to go to some European country? But he's going to flee the country. But in addition to the $4.3 billion, Clayton and Natalie, Mark Carney has just promised $225 billion to rearm Europe. So he likes to talk about rebuilding the Canadian Armed Forces, which have become an international joke under Justin Trudeau, but he wants to rearm Europe. Why? Every time we rearm Europe, they get into a world war. This is what happened in 1914 and what happened in 1939. And if we keep rearming Europe, they're going to take us into the Third World War. And I hate to say it, but I think we are potentially already in it as to what's happening in the Middle East. And I have lost so much respect for Donald Trump over the last 48 hours. This was a guy who was going to be the peace president, but he is as much a globalist as anybody right now. And even though he's pretending, he's still his own man. And he has no time for Emmanuel Macron. And he really doesn't have a lot of time for these other European folks. It's all American. I'm going back to Washington to make some tough decisions. This is all a charade. This is all a complete facade. And Donald Trump has become part of this act. And he's become part of the theater in a way that I never expected him to be. I have always supported Donald Trump. I supported his reelection in the last federal presidential campaign. I don't know how many columns I've written saying, great job you're doing. I can't say that today. And I don't know when I can say that again, because he has, as far as I'm concerned, betrayed the MAGA base. and he has betrayed the people who wanted him elected most to bring some kind of peace and order to the chaos in this world. And I don't know where he's coming from anymore. I don't know if he's on drugs. I don't know if he's being hijacked by forces beyond his control, but it's truly frightening to me.
Now, when did Canada recover its economy and get so rich and start doing so well that it can arm Europe and Ukraine? When did that happen? Because yeah. I've been watching for it. And last I checked, your economic markers are in the toilet. So that must be nice to all of a sudden come into some cash. You have a rich uncle or something.
Well, Natalie, this is all red ink. There's nothing real about this. This is Mark Carney at his usual behavior. This is how he behaved as governor of the Bank of England. The answer is just keep printing the money and keep spending it and hope nobody asks, is this real? Is this money actually coming from some source? He hasn't even got a budget prepared since he's been, and he has no intention of doing so till probably next spring. So what he's doing right now is he's borrowing money. He's printing money. He's putting money into the system the same way Joe Biden did with the Infrastructure Act and these other outrageous bills that poured tens of trillions of dollars into the U.S. economy. This is what Mark Carney's doing. He is basically saying, I am going to spend the money even though I'm not authorized to do so, even though I have no federal budget that explains where this money's coming from or where this money is going. It's completely outrageous. But once again, I've said from the beginning, Mark Carney intends to govern by decree. He intends to govern from the back room. So these clowns in the House of Commons, they just came back for a couple of weeks after being away for, what, 5-6 months? They're all going home again on Friday afternoon. And my God, they can't get out of here fast enough. So, and 3 months now, they're going to be away for 3 months. Mark Carney will continue to spend money without House of Commons authorization, without the authorization of Parliament. He will continue to put Canada farther and farther in debt with a deficit this year that's going to be probably $1 trillion easily. It's already at that. And this is what we got in this country. And you're, Natalie, you're quite right. Where is he going to find $225 billion to give to Europe?
Well, I saw this meme yesterday about how Canadians, like, they just don't care. They love all of this liberal rhetoric so much so to their own detriment. And it was a silly meme about how there are 40 million African Americans and 40 million Canadians. So for reparation, we should give each African American a Canadian as a slave. And Canadians would vote for it because they are so co-opted by self-hating liberal policies. It very much feels like that. I'm not doing the joke justice, but you know what I mean.
I know exactly what you mean. This has become a nation of masochists who just love to be punished by big government, that love big taxes, and they are allowing this theater, this, as I love how I heard it the other day, shambolic exercise in democracy. That is exactly what's going on here, because none of these people are taking any of this very seriously, even though we are on the verge of a potential nuclear war. If this escalates and continues to escalate, we've got everybody saying, hey, you know, let's talk about Ukraine again, and let's rearm Europe so Europe can be better prepared to attack Russia in the next 5 years. It's absolute insanity. I don't know who's taking this very seriously anymore, but I can tell you that the participants of the G7 weren't taking this very seriously. They know they're all role-playing. The one thing Trump said at G7, and I said, yes, exactly, thanks for saying it, bring Russia into this maze, because it's ridiculous to continue to treat them like a pariah state. And that's probably the best thing Trump said. I hope he was serious about it. But once again, we just learned yesterday that Donald Trump said they're walking away from improving relations with Russia. And this is only a week after he said, I had the most wonderful conversation with President Putin on my birthday, and he wished me the best and happy birthday wishes. So Donald Trump is almost schizophrenic at this point. He's two different people. He's the president that wants to have better relations with Russia. He's the president that just says we're walking away from that process. He's the president that got elected on a peace program, and now he's the president that is having nothing more to do with finding a peaceful solution to Ukraine, and I think wants to attack Iran within the next 24 or 48 hours because his friends want him to, and that's all there is to it. I think it's going to destroy his presidency, but he doesn't seem to care because, well, I guess he's not going to run again in 3 years. But yeah. I think he figures he can ride this out.
A lot of people agree with you in our chat room saying, you know, I voted for Trump, and but I don't know what he's doing. Like, one day he says one thing, the next day he's doing something else.
We just had Gilbert Doctorow on. He said in one of his newsletters this week that you can't sort of blame yourself if you supported President Trump, because if Kamala Harris had been elected president, we would already be in a full-blown war with Russia. I don't see it any differently. Do you?
Yeah, that's agreed.
No, he dodged a bullet with that. Absolutely not. No, but yeah. I mean, we voted for Donald Trump for rational reasons. And everybody who did that on the basis that Donald Trump would follow through on that promise. He's apparently not doing that, but that's not my fault. That's not your fault. That's Donald Trump's fault. But I think it's a tragedy, because I think we had an opportunity here to have a president who truly wanted to work for the peace process. What he should have done in saying, I'm going back to Washington and we're going to have a peace conference. Instead of a G7 conference, we're going to have a peace conference and we're going to try to solve the war in the Middle East and the war in Ukraine. That's what he should have done. Instead of saying, no, I've got plans and you're not going to like them, and start issuing these threatening posts on Truth Social against Iran. And that, I think, was a huge mistake, because he could have, once again, he could have filled this void, because there's nobody else in the G7 who's really actively working for the peace process at all. And it's very, very tragic.
David Creighton, always great to see you, my friend, from Ottawa, Canada, keeping it real up there and watching what happens with these globalists. Yeah. All the globalists were in your backyard. I had to take five showers after that, the G7 in your backyard. David, great to see you. Nice as always.
Nice to be here. Thank you so much.
All right, coming up, we've got a poll. We're gonna show the results of our poll, and you guys can vote on it. Unfortunately, they don't let us do it on Rumble, but the poll says, do you think we will enter a full-scale war with Iran? We will tell you the results of that poll in seconds, but first,
we want to remind you that Redacted is brought to you by American Financing, because you saw today the Fed held rates steady. They did not drop. They did not increase. So the cost of living is, you know, it's still high. We've made economic progress under Trump, but for how long? So if you're wondering, well, you know, I'm struggling, I have these high interest credit card debts or high interest medical debts, student loan, should I refinance with my home? Well, you can call American Financing and they can help you make that calculation in real time, because even if you have a low rate on your house, but you're still paying so much interest on other debt, you're not making out. You're still digging yourself in the red. They can help you learn to evaluate this in a smart way, especially if that credit card interest is 25%, even 15%, that's costing you thousands. So this is something that wealthy people know to do, is leverage their assets and make sure that your debt is optimal instead of hoarding one asset that you think is keeping your wealth. It's not. Again, this is one of many financial tools that wealthy people use all the time, but most of us are not taught. So teach yourself that by calling American Financing, having a conversation, or go to AmericanFinancing.net/redacted. You can call them at 1-866-890-8434, or again, go to AmericanFinancing.net. But really, it will behoove you to have a conversation, ask all the questions so that you know what you're doing, and get that monkey off your back and build wealth instead of dig into debt. Call them. They're saving their customers an average of $800 per month. Also, they can get you out of a mortgage payment or two, give you some breathing room. Build wealth, not debt. Again, that's AmericanFinancing.net, AmericanFinancing.net/redacted.
All right, what is the result of our poll here? All right, do you think we will enter a full-scale war with Iran? And we've got almost 5,000 votes. almost 5,000 votes, and 57% of you think that we will enter a full-scale war with Iran. 43% say no. I'm hopeful. That's good. Only, well, 57% think so. That's still very high. That's still very high.
Yeah.
What do you think? Do you think we're entering a full-scale war?
I don't know, is what I'm saying.
Grover, what do you
Grover
think?
Grover has abstained.
No, he moved out of his
from
spot.
The vote.
He moved to the sun over there. Okay. I don't know at this point. I mean, it's, I think it's like anybody's guess, but it seems like, you know, you listen to like certain sources on this. Alex Jones was just posting that he said has already been confirmed that Trump is about to attack Iran, which would be devastating for American forces in the region. I mean, Iran's not just going to sit there and allow this to happen.
Right. But so, there is news that Iran has reached out for a visit with Washington. That is something that I did not expect. So we will hold on to that. What Gilbert Doctorow said earlier, that Pakistan is also speaking with President Trump. So maybe there are some diplomatic discussions happening. Certainly they won't involve Israel because Israeli leaders are not interested in diplomacy. But, you know, we are not anti-Israel in the fact that we want bad things for the Israeli populace. We want them to have a real leader. Not a dictator like Netanyahu. We want them to be able to exist in their country peacefully. We want that. So, you know, if that's true, as our first guest said, that Israel will have a collapse of the Netanyahu government, would that be better for all? At the expense of who? How many lives until that happens? I don't
Indeed.
Know.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much for subscribing to the show, being a part of our audience here. We are an anti-war show, so we would love nothing more than for this to all fizzle and go away and for cooler heads to prevail. But the mainstream media desperately wants this war. So, again, I think we're likely to see that happen. That's what they want. And these deep state forces are pushing them in that direction. We've been covering all of this on our daily newsletter, which is totally free. If you go to redacted.inc, you can just sign up for it. It'll be delivered to your inbox first thing in the morning. And you can get coverage of like the four or five big stories that you might have missed while you were sleeping. We work really hard on this newsletter to bring it to you for free. So redacted.inc, click on the newsletter button there. And you will receive it tomorrow on tomorrow's Thursday already. Can you believe it? Thursday morning. All right. Thank you, everyone, for watching us on this Wednesday. Stay safe. Hug your loved ones. We will be back tomorrow here, 4 p.m. Eastern time. Have a great night.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Lowe's knows how to get you ready for holiday hosting with up to 35% off select home decor. And get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, haulaway, basic installation, parts, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 10-1. Member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Installed by independent contractors. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details.